Auguste Renoir, the French painter, produced marvelous paintings filled with light and colors. For the last 20 or so years of his life, that were his most productive years, Renoir was terribly crippled with arthritis. His head became twisted and gnarled. His wrists, arms, his spine also were ravaged by the disease. So he constantly needed assistance to help him move the paint, the brushes, and so forth. At times the pain was so intense that he would perspire profusely and moan at each stroke of the brush. On one such occasion, one of his students, who would go on to become himself a great artist, Henri Matisse, said to him, "Why do you go on torturing yourself like this? You have already created a vast and important body of work." Renoir replied, "Because the pain passes. It's only for a moment, but beauty remains. Easter is the beauty that remains, life that claims victory, while suffering, passion, even death are for a moment. This is the core, the center, the heart, really the reason of our faith. It's not an appendix to the Gospels, but the hinge around which everything else in Christianity revolves." Yet many today, as you probably know, reject this belief. For many, it's a joke. Wishful thinking at best, fairy tales, maybe superstition. You know that the number of those who do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus is growing every day. Agnostics, atheists, or simply uninterested. About 25% of Americans today are religiously unaffiliated. Best sellers are, for example, Christopher Hitchens' God is Not Great, or Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion, or the movie by Bill Maher, Religious, which basically makes the point that religion is ridiculous. To them, the resurrection of Jesus, as I said, is a joke. It's simply stupid. So why don't you give it up? Can't you just believe in Jesus Christ, in his doctrine, philosophy, even his morality, without having to claim such an unbelievable claim? Could we be Christians without the resurrection? In 2007, if I'm not mistaken, the Discovery Channel broadcasted a documentary titled "The Lost Tomb of Jesus," about a certain tomb discovered, unearthed by Israeli archaeologists, filled with various ossuaries, boxes of bones with epigraphs on them, and one of them read, "Yehoshua bar Yosef, Jesus the son of Joseph." So some claimed that those were the human remains, the bones of Jesus. Could we still believe in Jesus if by chance anyone found his bones? Let me answer by quoting St. Paul, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 14. "If Christ has not been raised, our faith is in vain. Everything is lost." Faith in the resurrection is not an appendix to the Christian faith. It is the Christian faith, the heart of the gospel. Theologian J.S. Will put it beautifully when he said, "The gospels do not explain the resurrection. It is the resurrection that explains the gospels." So how can we believe in such an incredible, unbelievable claim that Jesus rose from the dead? How do we know? We must rely on the witness of those who experienced it firsthand. And we hear today in the Gospel, Mary Magdalene, John, the beloved disciple, Peter, they went to the tomb. Mary went up. She was not expecting to find it empty or open. Even Peter and John, when they ran there, they did not understand. They thought that the body had been snatched away by thieves, robbers. They doubted at first. They couldn't believe. They did not understand yet. However, we are told that John finally went in. He saw the burial cloths on the ground. He saw the towel that had covered Jesus' head rolled up aside. I mean, what kind of robbers would do that? Unwrap the body of Jesus, the corpse of Jesus. Why? Why would you waste time rolling up and folding neatly the towel? It makes no sense. Those were not the signs of someone who had been taken away, but someone who had walked out of that tomb. Peter later came to that faith. It took him a while. But we have today his beautiful testimony in the first reading. I realize this is the first homily on the resurrection. So let me cheat. Let me quote him. Let him do the homily. He stands up in the house of Cornelius and gives a testimony. He gives the witness to Jesus' resurrection. He starts talking with an accent just like me, because he was from Galilee. So everyone knew he's not from around here. And he starts preaching and he says, Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't talk about principles, philosophical ideas, doctrines. He talks about one specific person, Jesus, Yahshua, a very common name those days. From where? Nazareth, a little place out of the way, unknown by most people. And Mr. Nobody, really. Who was he? He says he was anointed. This is a key word, Christos, the Messiah. He was anointed, just like the prophets of the Old Testament. However, he says, anointed with Holy Spirit and power. With the Spirit of God, God was in him, and that's why everything he did was filled with power. Power of transformation, power of healing. And Peter says, I saw it. We were witnesses. I'm not making this up. They killed him. In this very simple, direct words, it's all the mystery that we celebrated these past few days. The Son of God, the author of life, came into this world and they killed him. We know that something is wrong with us when the author of life comes to us and we kill him. This is how we know that not everything is okay. But now we get to the climax, the apex. God raised him. This is the decisive claim. If you believe it, you are a Christian. Peter is not talking here in abstracts. He's not saying we feel that he's still alive in our hearts. He's not saying the cause must go on. He's not saying his soul went up to God. No, he says we saw him and we ate and drank with him. This is crazy. I mean, we eat and drink with people every day, but I've never heard before that someone ate and drank with one who was dead. And that's what Peter says, and he puts it very plainly. This is the claim. This is what we believe. The empty tomb. Jesus alive. You know, if you Google the open grave, you put this very words in the Google engine, open grave, that you will find actually that there is such a thing as an open grave in Hanover, in Germany. It's a place that attracts tourists. It was a tomb that was that was placed in a church yard in the late 1700s. And there a countess was buried. A countess of Hanover. She was known to be an unbeliever, and she especially opposed the resurrection. And that's why she wanted her tomb to be engraved with these words: "This burial place has been purchased for all eternity. It must never be opened." The irony is that that's the only grave that is actually open in that cemetery. She did everything she could to make sure that that grave would never be opened. She purchased a granite slab, and around the tomb she had square blocks of stones, and all of that was fastened with heavy iron clamps. So how come her grave is open today? A little birch tree seed, long hidden in the earth, sprouted. As the root grew and strengthened, the green shoot sought the light, and it found its way between the side stone and the upper slab and grew there. Slowly and steadily, it swelled with life and forced its way upward until the iron clamps were torn apart. The granite lid gradually lifted, and it's now resting upon the trunk of the birch tree, which is large and flourishing. That grave was opened. I was in Jerusalem a few years ago, and I remember entering the tomb of Jesus. I had to push my way in, by the way. There were so many tourists and pilgrims. It took me a while. And as I got inside, all those coming behind me pushed me out. So I was there for maybe 5 seconds. I spoke with a Franciscan seminarian. I was a seminarian too. And he spoke with the friars of the Holy Sepulchre. And we asked, "What time do you do Lauds in the morning? What time do you gather for prayer?" They told us very early. Well, that morning, the following morning, very early, we were there. And our friends opened the door for us. We went in. There was nobody in the church of Anastasis. So we went in and spent a considerable amount of time in that empty tomb. I was in a tomb. I was in a place, in a grave, in a burial place. And it was empty. And I was filled with joy, not fear, filled with joy. The open grave, the empty tomb. Jesus Christ is truly risen. Happy Easter tomorrow.